Number 15, that Jesus is going to tell three stories, and all three of these stories, and I know you got a busy afternoon, and I don't want to waste time. How good it was to see an altar full of men. And I could thank you, fellas, for coming and gathering to pray. And you've lost one of your good men this week. And I know, sis, your mom not just recently went home to be the Lord. This church has lost some couple of good folks, and I'm telling you, we're losing good people, but we're here to gather like this to help cultivate more good people that'll fill those spots and serve the Lord. But in this text, Jesus telling three stories because he's confronting these Pharisees who spend their time bellyaching and complaining and picking and poking. And Jesus is going to tell these three stories to try to say to them, you fellas need to be more like me. And he gets down to this last one that we are so familiar with in verse number 11, where he says that a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would have fain had filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, thy father killed the fatted calf, and because he hath received him safe and sound, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts with the wonderful choir singing and the special singing and the time of prayer and testifying and worship. But now we pray you'd speak down deep in our hearts and help us today in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You be seated. Thank you for y'all for standing. I do want to be quick here, but let's be clear what's happening in this text. The man's got two sons. One of them has come, the younger has come, and demanded his inheritance. And what the father is going to have to do. Now, I think you understand a little bit about this Jewish culture and the culture of the day of Luke chapter 15. And the father, of course, the Bible teaches us the benefit and the wisdom behind building up a storehouse. And the Bible tells us that it's a wise thing for, and it's a good man who will save money for his children's children. there's wisdom behind having an inheritance to give. What this father, though, is going to have to do to be able to divide unto them this living, if you'll notice the text in verse number 12, it says he divided unto them his, and notice them, his living. What the father's not doing, he's not going down to a bank. He's not asking for a cashier's check. And he's not making a transfer in a banking deposit. What the man's going to have to do in order to liquidate some assets and to give monetarily to this younger son who's going to take his portion of the inheritance and leave, and the man's going to have to sell some of the property, some of his equipment, some of his livestock, and liquidate his assets. You know that the eldest child, the eldest son, is going to get a double portion. And so what the man's going to do, he's going to take two-thirds of his assets and give to the eldest son, and a third of his assets to give to the younger son. Are we on the same page so far? You understand what's happening when the father begins to do that, and that throughout, and this setting would be somewhere on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee, in that heavily Jewish, very religious Jewish agricultural area of Israel in this day. And what's going to happen in this community, in this town, in this region where this father and these boys would live, is that the people are going to begin to talk. Why is he selling these goods? Why is he selling these products? Why is he selling this livestock? Why is this property for sale? What's going on at the father's house? And then word is going to spread. There's rebellion in the home. There's a problem in the family. There's shame now that's going to be heaped. Not only the shame that was internally within the internal confines of the family, but now the spreading of the shame becomes public. Are we still on the same page so far? All right? There's not just the giving over to the younger son, but there's a giving over to the elder son. And the elder son is now going to become responsible for his two-thirds of the property, his two-thirds of the livestock, his two-thirds of the servants. The younger son is going to take his liquidated assets. He's going to say goodbye to the father. He's going to say goodbye to, and I know mama's not mentioned, but goodbye to mama. Goodbye to brother, goodbye to everything he's known, to find what he believes will be greener pastures and a more opportune life. You've got to understand, there's a major highway that ran right by, right along the north end of the Sea of Galilee, that ran all the way from Asia to Africa. All of the world would pass by, buying and selling their wares, and they would talk of all these grander things in grander places, and just on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, on the eastern side, up in those mountains, very Hellenistic, very Roman, very Grecian, and the bathhouses, and the prostitutes, and all the singing, and all of the world. Y'all with me? And it doesn't take much for a young man to be allured. All of us are drawn and tempted, pulled at every day of our life. Amen. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. There's a draw at our flesh. There's a pull and a tug from this world, right? We have an adversary, the devil, and he don't play fair. And he's not a slacker, can I tell you? He is powerful. He is persistent. He is persuasive. And I'm telling you, he's good at what he does. And I'm weak. And the older I get, the weaker I realize I am. Y'all with me? This flesh does not get stronger. I'm glad I've got a greater one that lives in me. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, and if it wasn't for the accountability of the local church and the power of the Word of God, I'd have fallen a long time ago. Y'all with me? Problem is, about some of us, we just hadn't been found out what's been circulating in our minds. Amen. And the boy leaves. We call this the story of the prodigal son. The word prodigal just simply means, the word prodigal doesn't mean someone who goes a far way. The word prodigal doesn't mean someone who come back. The word prodigal means a waster, a reckless waster. And this boy became a prodigal. When he took what he had and squandered it and wasted it. The Bible said he wasted it on riotous living at the end of verse number 13. The brother tells on him in greater detail in verse number 30 when he tells us some of the details of what he wasted the money on. And when we get in the middle of the text, we find out that he wound up spending it all. And the friends took it. And the world took it. And he lost everything, right? And a Jew boy finds himself up in a herd of swine, finds himself in a herd of swine, eating the same feed as the swine, just glad he's got something to eat. No one gave unto him. But then the Bible said in verse 17, he came to himself. Now I've preached it, I've heard others preach it for a long time, that this is when he repented. Verse 8, if you have a habit of marking in your Bible, I'd invite you to underline that phrase, he came to himself. Now, that is an important phrase. Now, I've preached it, I've heard other preachers preach it, that when he came to himself, that's when he repented. And can I say, that's not when he repented. And I know, he repents, but not here. And I know, and I'm going to tell you how I know, that this is not a repentance statement. When he came to himself, he said, and I want you to keep your pen out, how many hired servants, if you have a habit of marking your Bible, underline that phrase, hired servants, of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I know that he's not repenting here because of what he declares he wants to become. You see, in this culture, those that had servants, there were three types of servants one might would have. There was a servant that would live in the home. If you owned a servant, if you hired someone to carry out this role, there would be a servant that would live in your home with you. They would live in the same house as you live in. They would probably cook your meals. They would probably do your family's laundry and clean your house. They lived with you. It'd be like in the days when you and I were younger watching the Brady Bunch. It'd be like having Alice. Is everybody with me? Your own Aunt B. And they literally treated them like a member of the family. That's not what the son said, I want to go home and be. The son wasn't interested in going home, moving back in with daddy, living with the family. The boy wasn't interested in that. So I know he wasn't repenting. Not here. There was another servant that lived, and they worked for the servant owner. They lived on the property, but they lived in servants' quarters on the property. That was another type of servant. Again, that's not the kind of servant this son says, I want to be. There was another type of servant that would do work for the father, and they're the ones that are called the hired servants. And these people lived on their own property, in their own house, lived their own life, but they would be paid to come and do work. It would be like you hiring a plumber or hiring an electrician to come to your house to do repairs. You hire a carpenter to come and build something on your property. You hire someone to come and mow your hay. You hire a veterinarian to come and take care of your horses. It's someone you hire to come. They live their own life. You don't rule over them. They live an independent life in their own house, calling their own shots. They just work for the man. Is everybody with me? And that's what the boy said I want to do. not interested in going home, moving back in with Daddy. I'm really not interested in getting right with Daddy. I've just got to work this monkey off my back. He's gave me his inheritance, and I've blown it, and I want to go home and see if I can't work some of this off and build up my reserves again. I still want to live on my own. I still want to call my own shots. I want to live my own life, but I'm willing to work the monkey off my back. Is anybody else with me? And that's what religion offers this world. Pure old man-made religion offers you the opportunity to soothe your conscience. You still want to live your own life. You still want to call your own shots. I just want to do things that make me feel a little better. And I'd say quite a few of us tried that trick, didn't we? What caused the boy to repent? I mean, he picked himself up and said goodbye to the pigs, made his way back toward the north end of the Sea of Galilee. He rehearsed the story. I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I've blown it. I've spent everything. I've messed up. And here's what I want to do, Daddy. I want to find me a piece of property outside of your property line. I want to live in my own house and live my own life. If you'll hire me on to come and do some work where I can help and get some breathing room. Will you do that, Daddy? I don't really care what you and brother think. I just need a favor. Everybody knows the law. And everybody knows the law that says a rebellious, cantankerous, disobedient son to get stoned. And you don't walk in town without walking through the gate of that town, the gate of the city. And in the gate of the city is where the legislators sit. And in the gate of the city is where the law enforcement would be. And in the gate of the city is where the leaders of the town would be gathered. And then when that boy come walking through the gates, everybody knows they would seize him immediately because everybody knows what he's done. What does Daddy do? The Bible said that they told the son that he, in verse number 27, he hath received him safe and sound. If you see that in verse number 27, would you underline that word received? That word received comes from a particular Greek term, which means to receive what has been promised. Somewhere, I believe that daddy got along with God in prayer. And somewhere, while that daddy was praying and interceding on the behalf of that boy, the Holy Ghost of God has given daddy a promise that one day your boy will be back. And that daddy lived with that hope. That daddy lived with that expectation. That's what made that daddy often look beyond the gates and lived with anticipation. That someday my boy's coming home. Someday I'll see my boy again. Someday all will be well again. And when he saw the boy coming, he run past the legislators, run past all the law enforcement, and ran past all of those in authority, ran out to meet the boy to protect him from being accosted. Is everybody with me? Boy still ain't willing to repent. Probably thinks daddy hates my guts. Probably thinks daddy's got some bad plans for me. But daddy didn't come out with a whip. Daddy didn't come out with stones. Daddy didn't come out cussing and fussing and bellyaching. Daddy came and threw himself on that boy and wrapped his arms around him and kissed him and showed compassion. And it melted. That's when it melted the hard heart of the boy. Amen. I want everybody to listen to me. I knew all my life about hell. I knew sinners went to hell from the time I was a little boy. They taught me that at home. They taught me that in Sunday school. I listened to enough preaching to know that sinners went to hell. And I'm aware that the Bible teaches us that with the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I do think it's important we remind sinners there is a real hell and souls are perishing every day. Ever since we gathered this morning, untold multitudes of souls have plunged into hell. My wife has been visiting a fella. I visited the fella back home who was raised as a little boy in church and claimed
that he had heard the gospel, but I told the pastor this morning, I don't know if something happened to him in the military. I don't know what happened in his life where he just, and he wasn't defiant. He wasn't rude about it. He was as sincere as he could be. He just couldn't believe God was real. He couldn't believe the Bible was real. He couldn't see himself any different than a cow in the field. And he couldn't see that he had an eternal soul. He just couldn't grasp all of that. And Starling got a text this morning that he died sometime during the night. And I'm telling you, throughout this world, they're perishing. And I'm telling you, it's not always just bad, mean people that go to hell. Amen. Lost without God. Boys and girls, men and women are perishing, dying, going to hell. And I knew that all my life. Can I tell you what really drew me to salvation in Jesus Christ? It's when the Holy Ghost of God let me get a real glimpse, not of just hell, but the love of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When I really saw that it was my fault, Calvary was my fault, and I saw Jesus dying for me, and I saw Jesus bleeding for me, and I saw Jesus getting up for me, y'all with me? That broke my heart. That's what melted this boy's heart. Notice after Daddy does that, he never brings up about being a hired servant. He just admits, I am what I am. I'm a sinner. And they go get a robe and they go get, you don't put shoes on an old slave. You put shoes on a son. And go get my ring and put it on him. And he's dead broke. He don't have a dime to his name. But the rest of his life, he'll live putting everything on my account. He's got my ring with my signet in every store and every venture, every business deal. He'll seal it with my signet and my ring, and it goes on my account. Everybody with me? The rest of his life. By the way, kill the fatted calf. And all the community knows what a mess our family's been in. And all the community knows what a problem we've had. Will you invite all the community over to the house? And we're going to let them know about reconciliation and repentance. We're going to let them know that all is now well. We're going to sing and dance and eat and have a good time. Amen. But the boy is out in the field, not working. He's surveying those who are now working for him. He comes back, he hears all the singing, all the dancing, all the festivities. What's going on? Well, your brother came back, and man, your father has killed the fatted calf, and we're having a party and celebrating. We thought he was dead, but he's alive. He's been lost and gone, but now he's home and found. We're happy about it. Well, I'm not happy about it. And I'm not going in. See, in this culture, when a family like this would have a big dinner party, invite all of these guests, they would have a head table. And they would set honored guests at the head table. This is always the culture. And the eldest son of the family who's given the feast, the head son would always stand at the head of the table and wait on the head table guest. I'm not going in. I'm not doing that. I'm not honoring that brother of mine. Adding more shame to the heart of Daddy. You and I would pick our belt off our britches. We'd cut a switch. We'd go out there, and I don't care how old you are. You're not too old. I can't spank. Oh, you hear me? It's not what his father did. Notice that, get your pen out, get ready, verse number 28. The Bible said he went out and entreated him. Now I want you to notice that is spelled I-N-T-R-E-A-T-D, I-N-treated. There are other times the word entreated is used in your New Testament, but it's spelled E-N-T-R-E-A-T-E-D. When you find, and that's going to be your homework this week, look up where the word is used and spelled E-N. That means that it's something intended for harm. But anytime you see the word I-N treated, that comes from a Greek word parakaleo, which is akin to the word paraclete, which is what we call in the Greek the Holy Ghost. So the father doesn't go out with intent to do harm. The father goes out under the leadership of the Holy Ghost to treat this son like the Spirit of God would have him treat him. The word prodigal means to waste. A reckless waster. Can I say this morning, you don't have to go to a far country to be a waster. Can I tell you, son, the most reckless waste happens with those of us who sit in the pews of local churches like this Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning. We hadn't left, but we're wasting. We have a talent we won't use. We have money we won't give. We have love we won't share. We have a story we won't tell. We have work that needs to be done, but we won't do it. We're wasting this opportunity. One of these days, they'll have a 2 o'clock visitation for you. One of these days, there'll be a 3 o'clock funeral for you. One of these days, 6 strong men will carry your body. One of these days, there'll be a hole dug for you. And all the opportunity to serve and honor the good name. The pastor stood behind the pulpit and prayed, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We get a short span of opportunity to honor the good name of God. I don't just honor him in word. I honor him in deed. I give, God has given to me the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to you and I the word of reconciliation. He gave me a body and said, "Be a good steward of this body." He gave us the church and said, "Be a good steward." The word steward means be a good manager. He gave us a family and says, "Manage it well." Gave you a child and said, "Manage them well." God's not interested in you raising a good little boy. God's not interested in you raising a good ball player. God's not interested in you raising a good teenager. God's interested in you raising a good man and a good woman who knows Jesus and lives for God and won't waste their life. You get one shot at being a steward of all the great things God has given us. If you ain't careful, you'll be like me and you'll wake up and you're staring at age 55 and you look back and you think, "Golly, what have I been doing? Fussing over stuff that don't matter, worrying about things that don't matter, and piddling around, wasting my life and stuff that means nothing." My dear governor, I love the governor of Tennessee. He's a good man. He gave a speech recently. He had a wife that died, got thrown off a horse years ago. He's now married to another wonderful woman. He sent me a text, and he sent me the speech he gave. And he said, "Bobby, I went through a real dark period in them days when my wife got killed." And he said, "There was a good old Christian man that told me." And he said, "I learned the lesson well because God was transforming my life." He said, "Bobby, there are just a few things in this life that really matter. And we need to give more attention to that. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to be a prodigal." Both these boys were prodigals. They both squandered all that had been given. I don't want to do that. What about you? Heads are bowed. Our pastor's coming. The pianist is coming. I wonder this morning if you wouldn't like to come back to the altar one more time and say, "Lord, you've been so good to me. And I've wasted so much time worrying about things that absolutely don't amount to a hill of beans. If you'll let me, I don't want to be a prodigal no more. I want to honor your good name." Let's stand all over the building. If you want to sit in your seat and pray, I know you can do that. And I thank you for doing that. But I'm going to take this microphone off. And I'm going to get down to pray. And nothing would thrill me more than to see some of you men and women, teenagers, come, let's gather in this altar and say, "Not me. I don't want to be a prodigal. I don't want to waste. I don't want to be a waster." Let's pray.